We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Presented by Prize Picks, $100 match on your first deposit with the promo code. That's right, guys.
Welcome to Light Years. Andy Liu, you know, it's been what? 2 days since the Warriors got eliminated. The postmortems have been hilarious across the board. I mean, I just... non-stop. Oh, it's over. It's over for that. Oh, it's over for Steph. We gotta do this. We gotta do that. And I'm sitting here and I'm going, yeah, or you could just get a good player and maybe they'll be fine, because the Phoenix Suns are in the playoffs and KD's the same age as Steph. And he's not any better than Steph. So
no, definitely not.
Might it's be just worse. Like it's so funny. Obviously a disappointing season. I thought they'd do a little more, but end of the day, probably wasn't going anywhere. Like I think by January, it was pretty clear your best case scenario was like some We Believe fun in the playoffs.
I think the unfair, let's go back. By the way, I'm excited to do this one because I'm happy that Dunleavy and Steve Kerr and all the players have come out and done their press conferences already. I'm sure it hasn't been easy. Bar's low. Listen, the bar's, I get it, but it can't be easy for those guys to come out here. And for the first time, they didn't make the playoffs together, right? And so it can't be easy. And obviously, Steve Kerr's got to sit up there and Dunleavy's got to sit up there. I would have loved to see Lakeup sit up there and answer some questions. I think that would have made for a better material for us. But
sure.
To go back to your point about like the Warriors and Steph being done as the alpha guy, you're right, though. Like, what are we doing? The issue is not Steph being the alpha guy. That's not even close. The issue is everyone else, right? So it's been pretty disingenuous to see that. I agree with you. It's like yes, if Steph at AD, would Steph be in the playoffs? Yes. If Steph at Devin Booker, would he be in the playoffs? Yes. You know what I'm saying?
You could take the bar a lot lower. Give him some.
Who are we thinking? Who are you thinking? Sabonis? Yeah, exactly. What are we doing?
And it is what it is. Like, the roster has a lot of work to be done. And I don't blame people who are looking at this going like, man, they're not going to pull it off. They need to do a lot of things, a lot of ninjaing that needs to be done. They need to get another high level player because Klay's no longer that second star. He's probably one of the dudes if he's even back with the team. I think he'll be back. Maybe he won't. But if he is, he's clearly not the second option game six Klay anymore, you know? Yep. And then beyond that, like, I love the Steve Kerr quotes. Who's like, yeah, we could use more size and athleticism. I'm like, no shit, dude. But like the point is they need a lot of things. And I don't know. For once, they seem to be more aware of it. Like last off season, it felt like they thought that the only issue was chemistry. The only issue was Jordan Poole and Steph hating each other. We fixed that. We're back. Well, now you got 2 years of this. Yep. 3 years, really. And 1 year they have the, you know, catch lightning in a bottle. And the other two look a little more like this. And you know what? The one that happens more often is probably who you are.
Yeah. Now it's, yeah. Well, not now it's sustained, I think, mediocrity. Actually, I would say this is actually not even mediocrity. This is clearly below average. Last season's probably, you could say, maybe above average.
Is it though? Because they still won 46 games. I feel like it's the textbook definition of mediocrity. Like, probably the 6th seed in the East, but they're the 10th seed in the West. What does that put them out to? Like, I don't know, the 15th or 16th best team. Could not be more textbook middle of the road mediocre.
Yeah, if they were in the East, like after we watched that game last night or two nights ago, if they were in the East, how far would they make it, you think?
I mean,
like they lose to the Knicks, probably. I think.
Yeah, but the East, like to your point, okay, the Celtics are probably sufficiently better than them. I don't know what to make of the Bucks, honestly.
Well, yeah, Giannis is out, so let's not count that, I guess. Yeah,
I don't know. They're kind of in the mix with all the East mediocrity. I don't know what else to say. I think Philly's probably better than them if fully healthy. You are correct. In the East, there's a pathway to them getting to like a conference finals and us thinking they're a better team than they are.
Yeah.
But even end of the day, it doesn't really tell you anything. You know?
I could
it
just still makes see you them
feel a little better.
I can still see them losing to the Pacers, though. That's the other thing, right? Because like, sure. We just saw them get smoked by the Kings. And they were 3-point favorites. And so I think you can sufficiently say this team was just more mediocre. And now it's been two straight seasons of it. And I guess they should have known it after last season, but they waited. And now we're sitting here on our hands, on our ass, Sam, and asking all the same questions we did last season with, I don't know what the answers are. We'll get to it. We've got a long time. We've got a long time to figure out what the answers are. I can't wait.
Dunleavy was pretty frank. He's such a GM. Like, he's only had the job for a year, but he answers questions like an executive where he both tells you stuff but tells you nothing at the same time, you know? And there was one question that I just want to play real quick. Friend of the show, MT, great question. So I'm going to play this for everyone.
You've seen 83 games now, knowing what you – lack, knowing how the West is stacked up. In hindsight, could you have improved this team at the deadline? Was there something that was out there that might have helped, like looking back on it?
I think knowing what I know now, there's not anything on the table that I would have done or gone through with. I think it was good to see this team out. I think one of the best things about this year, frankly, is there were no catastrophic injuries. There's no, hey, Steph only played 40 games. What would this team be like without him? Thing like that. We know clearly what this team was. It wasn't good enough. And so there's no doubt about that. There's no what ifs. If we had made a move at the deadline, well, maybe that wasn't the right move. What if we had kept this guy or that guy? We answered all those questions. And so now we can move forward with clarity.
Can move forward with clarity. To me, that was, he was trying to non-answer it. And in some ways, he said some stuff. He's like, nothing that we could have done at the deadline would have changed this. We gave it the full season to see if, and you know what he's saying, if Wiggins can rediscover 2022, if Clay can rediscover, if Kuminga can take a huge step. You know, those are like the big ones that, like, if any of those things happen, then maybe we're having a different conversation.
Not only I very much agree with you with how I read that answer.
I think he's sitting here going, look, man, I gave it an extended run. I you know, it is what it is. All right, it's over. We are not, and I hope my read is correct, but we are not going to change one player and be like, we are back. We added Andre Drummond. Center position is set, and that's all we need to do. You know, it seems to me like he's looking at this going like, there's a few things that need to happen here, and I don't know how anyone can watch this and say otherwise.
Yeah, that's him telling. So we've got the same. I swear we didn't freaking synchronize this, but we've got this same take on this. I think Dunleavy's kind of he's kind of hinting that you guys won it this season. We gave you Chris Paul. You know what I mean? Like, we didn't trade Wiggins. You wanted to keep him. Draymond Green, we believed in you. He'll be back, but Draymond Green, we believed in you the whole way through. Klay Thompson, you know what I mean? Like we started you the whole season. We believed in you. You're playing 30 plus minutes. came off the bench, you're back, right? But it's like now it's like, well, if Clay wants more money somewhere and he gets paid way more, I don't think they're matching that contract, right? I think that's it's kind of what he said to GP2. Like, if you want to resign for longer, you got to take less money. If not, then you got to go. Kevon Looney, like, if you're not,
same thing,
right? If you don't want to do that, you got to go. So it's like, I think that's this is Dunleavy's way of saying, like, I gave y'all a year. Y'all couldn't figure it out. And I know you're going to get to this clip later, but I'm not having my boss pay $400 million again. That's not happening. It's not his money, but it's his job. Right. And he's just, you know what I'm saying? So
that's a good way to put it. That's a good way to put it. You could you could say, hey, it's not my money. Hey, the guy whose money it is going to make sure that you don't have a job soon.
Yeah. Sure.
If you keep moving that way. And yeah, that was the other thing. Steve Kerr also kind of echoed that stuff where he's just kind of like, it makes no sense to pay $400 million to win 46 games, 44 games. And I don't think any of us disagree with that. I think our hope is that they assemble a team worthy of paying $400 million for, or whatever it costs. Like, I don't really, how do you feel about the whole, they want to duck the tax thing?
I guess I'd have to have the options laid out in front of me, right?
Sure.
Like, is it just, all right, you just got to let Clay and CP3 go kind of thing? Or like, how do they massage kind of the money around those players? Like, we talked about GP2 taking a longer contract versus opting into his 1 year left, and same with Looney. So I will say this. I doubt that Lacob's one sole goal this offseason is to duck the tax. And at the cost of putting together a team that they believe is a championship team. Like, I think, you know what I mean? But, you know, a lot of owners, they don't care. They're sitting there and they're like, my goal is to just duck the tax. I don't care what Steph wants. I don't care. But, to me, it feels like Lacob's like,
if you read any of the reports about how much money they made at Chase in 2022, it's pretty clear paying the tax, but getting to the championship and the finals is more economically lucrative than just ducking the tax. So, and nothing, my general perspective on it is I think they're blowing hot air. I think it's possible they duck the tax. I think it's possible they decide to reset, but nothing I'm seeing right now makes me think that's determined in April. I'm going to take, it's not even taking Dunleavy and Kerr at their words. It's, we don't really know what's on the table until you get to late June. You know, like, we're going to get into this with the playoff talk, but until we know who comes available and what are feasible options, none of this stuff matters. Like, what if the Bucks get eliminated and Giannis asks for a trade? You know, what if Karl-Anthony Towns needs to be moved because Minnesota wants to save money because they lost in the first round? What if a bunch of stars come available, you know? Or what if the opposite happens and they're like, there's no moves to be made. We might as well just go the other way. My long and short of it is, it sounds like sexy to talk about all that stuff, but you're not going to get a good answer on any of that stuff for 2+ months. So,
I mean, Clay sat there and said, you guys don't want to talk about the present. You guys want to talk about the future, which I kind of read as like Clay kind of being annoyed, honestly, about it. He can't hide his feelings. He's just going to tell you honestly how he feels.
Yeah. Right? By the way, if you're watching on YouTube and you want to join the show, click the link, come over to Playback. We're going to take live listener call-ins. We want your takes on the season, on what you're looking for in the playoffs, all that stuff in, let's say, 5 or so minutes. So, if you're watching on YouTube, click on the Playback link. Come in. We'll bring everyone up on stage.
And we, the Light Years Podcast, is brought to you by Prize Picks. Prize Picks is America's number one fantasy sports app with more than 3 million members. It is the easiest and most exciting way to get in on the action while you watch your favorite sports and players. Users pick more or less on 2 or more player stats and watch the winnings roll in. You can now win up to 100x your money on Prize Picks with as little as 4 correct picks. You can turn $10, what, 2 coffees, maybe 1 coffee if you're in the Bay Area, like Sam and I, into $1,000 with NBA, NHL, and college basketball entries today on Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. Whether it's tournament season, which is over, or the fight for the NBA championship, we got the playoffs on Saturday. There's no shortage of high stakes basketball moments this time of the year. I can't wait. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your latest hoops knowledge into serious cash. Prize Picks even offers injury insurance. Hopefully that doesn't happen in the playoffs. But if your entries stay in play, even if one of your players get injured for basketball games, if you have a player who exits the game in the first half and does not return in the second, Prize Picks will have your back and not count that as a loss. So download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy. Download the app today. Use code LIGHTYEARS for a first deposit match up to $100.
All right, so we're going to get to callers, and I just want to start before we get to the callers going. Andy, playoffs are starting. Who are you rooting for? What are you rooting for?
What am I rooting for? Who am I rooting for? What am I rooting for? Two entirely different things. Who am I rooting for?
Any direction you want.
I'm going to give you – okay, so I've been building toward this take. I think I've maybe hinted on it on the pod. You're going to maybe love it? I'm rooting for the Boston Celtics.
Southie Andy.
I think they deserve to win a championship. That's not how sports work. That's not how life works. I think they deserve to win a championship. I think their team that's been built the right way, they've not had players run around and cry about how they should be on a better team or a better situation. They've got one of the best young American stars in the world. I just think we're sick of seeing him in big moments, Jason Tatum, that I think like Jason Tatum is a better player right now than Anthony Edwards. But Jason Tatum has failed, quote unquote, so many times in the postseason that Jason Tatum gets a lot of hate. It's just that like Anthony Edwards is like he's going to lose the first round or he's going to lose the second round. And then he's going to do that again next year. And people are going to start to hate him too. It's just how it goes. I just think people are tired of them. I'd like to see the Celtics get over the hump. I'm kind of rooting against Denver because Jokic's legacy thing. Maybe I don't want him to win a second title, you know? And then finally, Sam, finally, most importantly, bringing it back to the Warriors. I would love it if it's on Steph's resume that Steph took down the 2022 Boston Celtics almost by himself. That would be really cool.
I hadn't thought of it that way, but I like that. This is pretty Andy cool. Right now. This is gonna be him talking about.
Do you like apples?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I got a number.
This movie still holds up, by the way.
Yep. It really I watch does. It once a year.
Every time I watch it, I also get a little emo. So, you know.
It's great casting. Ron Williams is great. It's a great movie.
Oh, okay. You took that in a different direction than I thought because Andy Liu, I'm telling you how I'm watching the playoffs.
All right. Here we go.
I am watching it in a completely different fashion than you. Full hater. I have made a list of teams I think have the ability to implode. Implosion is good. Implosion means trades are coming. Trades means they may move their star players. Them moving their star players means Mike Dunleavy might have a shot at doing something that Bob Myers didn't do for like a half decade, which is get Steph a second star. That's all I want. Get him a second star. Figure out the role players beyond that, and let's see where the chips lie. That's all I want. So here's my list of teams I want to see implode. I'm going to go in order.
All right.
Not the Celtics because they're not going to move their guys anyway. Not the Knicks because they don't really have anyone I want anyway. The Bucks, see you implode. I don't think that they're going to move anyone, but love to see you lose. The Cavaliers. Now, if they lose the first round to the Orlando Magic,
moves will
be made.
Yep.
Don't need the Magic to lose. Don't need the Pacers to lose. Neither of those teams. Both those teams are just happy to be there. They're not going to be like, I got to trade Paulo now. You know, that's not going to happen. The 76ers, probably not going to do anything anyway. Miami Heat, probably not going to do anything. The Bulls, need them to lose. Actually, I don't really need the Bulls to do anything. It doesn't really matter.
Doesn't matter.
All right, now let's go over to the West. I'm looking at these West teams. Thunder, I don't need them to lose because they're not going to trade Chet or Jalen Williams anyway. So it doesn't matter. The Nuggets, indifference. I don't know that they're going to move MPJ this offseason. Maybe they could. MPJ is moving up my power rankings of favorite players in the NBA just because I think he's hilarious. But they're not on my list. The Wolves, I need the Wolves to lose. Wolves lose in the first round with the ownership drama they have. I could see Cap becoming available.
There you go. That's the one. I see it.
Clippers. Clippers losing the first round to the Mavericks again. There's no way they're re-signing Paul George.
I guess they could,
but it's like at a certain point, or how much are you going to pay for eternity? So I want them to get a little unhinged. Mavericks, don't care. Have your fun, Luka and Kyrie. Do your thing. Suns, don't care. They're not moving anywhere. Lakers, I know where Andy lands on this one. I would not mind seeing a Laker buy, fall apart. LeBron sulk maybe comes together. Maybe. I don't know. Pelicans, I need a loss tomorrow night. I need them to lose. BI can't get a win without Zion in the play-in. I don't know if I want to give BI a bunch of money if I'm David Griffin. Nope. If he can't get us into the playoffs tomorrow. Nope. So that's my list.
Wow.
Hater. I'm just looking. I'm trying to cause maximum chaos. If there's like 8 all-stars available, the Warriors have to get one.
You would think
that's kind of where I'm at with it. Yeah, you know, there's a very realistic chance they'll fuck it up. But you know, I'm trying to increase my odds. I'm trying to increase my odds of something positive happening for the Warriors here.
So tier one is the Lakers and the Bucks implosions. Tier two is everyone else. You've got the Clippers in there, you've got the Wolves in there, you've got the Cavs in there.
I'm much less picky. Yeah, I've been beaten down. I'll take any of them. I'll take any tier. Every one of the players I said can walk and chew gum at the same time, which is more than you can say for anyone on the Warriors.
Dribble.
Yeah, exactly. Every one of the players I mentioned, some of them are really good at it. Some of them have some flaws. No one's perfect, but they can all create off the bounce. They all have positional size. They all theoretically can defend and do certain things. They're all basically everything this roster is lacking, which is it's the upside of an all-star player.
Yeah. So. Yeah. That's a beautiful way to watch basketball. I'll tell you that because you're watching for 7 teams to lose. And I tell you what, 6 of them are. So if we're talking implosions, I think Minnesota's got a pretty high, the Clippers and Minnesota,
you know,
really speaking to me, man, they are really speaking to me.
And I think implosion's different for different teams. If the Wolves get to the second round, they'll be happy because it's their first time. If they can't get out of the first round, they might be like, man, what are we doing? You know, if Cleveland wins a round in the playoffs, I think they're happy.
Right.
If Cleveland still can't win a round in the playoffs, they might be like, this is really expensive for a 46-win team who doesn't get out of the first round.
Kind of like the Warriors.
Yeah. Exactly. That's the type of thing. Whereas, you know, someone like the Clippers, I think they have higher expectations. They need to go farther. But, you know, anyway, yes. Go Mavs. Go Magic. I will be hating.
Go Denver. Let's go to the Goons.
Let's get to them. We didn't get to Paritosh on Tuesday's show, so he gets to hit leadoff today.
What Steve Kerr take do we have today?
Hey, guys. Can you hear me?
What's up, Paritosh?
Yeah, I didn't get to rent on the, was it Tuesday? Yeah, it was Tuesday. But yeah, I just wanted to shake Mick Walter's hands because like he basically said everything I wanted to. So he kind of like I vented through him. But I wanted to start off by saying, Sam, you finally discovered hating. Honestly, hating is the best thing in sports. I've like spent the last week hate watching soccer clubs. I think it's Barcelona, Liverpool, Arsenal, Manchester City. And there's I think one more.
Oh, I forgot you're a Man United fan. You're just all you have is hating.
I have. Yeah, exactly. That's all I have. So hate watching in sports is honestly even better than winning championships. But anyway, did you guys hear Steve Kerr's quotes? I mean, I assume you probably did. Least surprising thing ever that he was going to come out and say that, hey, we needed more size. Again, he's saying we are going to change our offense. And honestly, I don't believe any of it. But yeah, let's see how it goes. One thing I wanted to say also is Dunleavy's quotes were really good because I really think that he used this season as like trying to gauge where the, like you guys said, where the team right now is, and also to like tell the team and tell the vets that, hey, you got what you wanted last season and it didn't work out, so now we are going to have to do things our way. And that's really good management. Let's see like if he lives up to it, but that's the one thing that's giving me hope that going forward into next season, we can have different things. But yeah, that's about it. And again, thanks to Mick Walter for venting on my behalf.
Mick Walter's a legend. He's always welcome. And Paritosh, you're always welcome too. I didn't touch on Steve's, but I've heard him say all this stuff. At some point, do you even believe a word he says publicly, Andy? Like, he's by far the most media-trained coach in the NBA.
Think of the question you just asked. Do you even believe the stuff he says publicly? He is the best politician in basketball. Is there a better one out there? Because the thing about Steve is, he's a great guy, and he's obviously extremely smart. But he does a great job of just telling you that
what you want to hear.
Yeah, exactly. Without and just kind of making like a little joke, and then all of a sudden you're smiling and you're laughing, and then all of a sudden you forgot what the fuck you were gonna ask anyway. Like he's just a good dude. Like, he's not an asshole. Like, he's a really good person. Everything you hear about around Steve Kerr is he's just a really good person. Like, I don't even compare him to a politician, because a lot of politicians are just trash people. Like, Steve's like legitimately a good person. It's hard to get. Now, the other thing too is what with Steve Kerr is that I think he's just secretly one of the most stubborn people. Like,
for sure.
I just think secretly, and it just doesn't come off that way, because hear him talk. He just doesn't come off as a stubborn person, but look at him with the rotations, with the schemes and stuff like that. I can't imagine he changes that much unless they bring in, Kenny Atkinson was ex-head coach. Like, I don't know. Who are they bringing in? Like, who are they bringing
That's
in?
That's what I was also thinking. Because I remember him saying after it was the 2021 season or 2020-2021, when we got Oubre and all of those guys, that, hey, we are going to run much more pick and rolls. And
I know who changes it. I know a guy that changes Steve Kerr. There is only one guy. He's playing in LA. There's only one guy.
Like, yeah, but that guy plays their, that guy can play their system very comfortably too.
Do you think he's gonna want to?
Oh, he's gonna play it, and then
Steve Kerr is going to run the system.
Now it's time for me to mismatch.
There you go. Exactly. I mean, it's like kind of similar to what KD did, where it's like, I'll play your system and it works, but at a certain point, it's like, well, like, dude, I'm the best player in the world. Like, I'm just, forget it. Let's just, you know what I mean?
Maybe that's what we need. Well, like, that's what Steve
for
needs.
Many reasons. For many reasons, the Warriors need LeBron James, and LeBron James needs the Warriors.
Let's go. LeBron on the Warriors.
Appreciate you. Oh, what I was going to say is, like, I feel like this is a peak Steve lie here, where he's just talking about, like, Kuminga, and he's talking about how Kuminga can't really play the three, which is something we've talked about all year. You know, he doesn't shoot the ball well enough. He's not really a perimeter player. He's kind of a mismatch athlete who you play at the four, right? And someone asked him about that, and he just kind of going into all this stuff. What do you think he thinks privately? Privately, he's thinking, like, it's probably not going to happen. Get me like an actual small forward type of thing. But publicly, he's just going out here going, you know, well, you know, if JK improves his shot and his decision-making, he could play the three, but until then, he can't. So I don't know if it's as much of a lie as much as, like, he just knows how to say the unpopular thing without, like, actually disclosing himself sometimes.
Yeah, good. That's a good point. And you know, maybe he's kind of putting it as kind of like a, not a threat, but just kind of like, hey, here's something you need to work on, right? I'm sure he's told him, but it's not going to happen. That's not who Kuminga is. Like, the reason why he struggles isn't because he's a three. It's other things right outside of that. So,
I mean, I think it goes hand in hand, but you're asking a lot for him to become a small forward in 2 months over the summer.
Yeah.
So it's unlikely.
Light Years Podcast. We are brought to you by Game Time. Understand that Game Time is the only ticketing app that gives you complete peace of mind with your purchase. See the view from your seat before you buy, so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. Use the promo code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off your first purchase. They are obsessed with finding ways to help you save money on tickets. Game Time has deals on tickets right up to the start of the event and even after an hour after it starts. It's the place to find last-minute seats. With zone deals, you pick the section, and Game Time picks the seats for big-time savings. And the Game Time guarantee means you always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section, roll for less. Game Time will credit you 110% of the difference. Download the Game Time app, create an account, use code LIGHTYEARS for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, credit account, redeem code LIGHT. YEARS for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed.
Okay, moving forward. Ebony, what's up?
What up?
Nothing much. Nothing much. Just had a few questions, and I'm definitely watching, trying not to cry while I watch the playoffs, like Sam is. Who's gonna lose and implode and then blow it all up? That's really fun, and just kind of watching like what assets those teams have. But you mentioned the Cavs, and I'm thinking about what the Cavs would want that the Warriors have. There's a lot that they have that we would want, right? Like, we're not going to pay Donovan Mitchell, but we could certainly take, what's his name? Allen and Darius Garland for a swap for Loon and CP3.
I feel like they're an obvious trade partner because they have bigs and guards, mm-hmm. but they don't have any wings. Like, they would, whatever you think of Wiggins, that team could use a guy of his skill set, you know? They could use, whereas like the whole Allen, Mobley combos, like they're both really good. Like Warrior fans probably more than anyone would be like, it'd be really nice to have a big who could do that sort of stuff, but they don't really fit together. So like maybe there's a wing for a big trade with them. I don't know. It seems like if they fall short because they're playing two bigs and it doesn't work again, like that feels like an obvious partner.
Well, I agree with you. At the same time, I have no confidence in the Warriors trading Wiggins, or like zero, like little, very little confidence in that. So it makes sense, right? Like they don't have any like legit wings, but the Warriors are notorious for hanging on to bad pieces.
Would you do Wiggins for Allen?
Of course. Would you not?
Yeah.
With the Cavs? Throw a pick?
I think the Warriors would have to sweeten it. Yeah.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the Warriors would have to throw a pick with Wiggins.
Yeah.
But Andy, would you?
Yeah, of course. I would do that in a second.
That's kind of like the type of player they've like not prioritized.
Well, and the Cavs, you got to think about the Cavs. They're trying to figure out if Evan Mobley can finish playoff games. And we're going to find out here in a couple weeks. Is Evan Mobley like a good enough shooter to be a four, or does he have to shift to a full-time five? But is he good enough to be a full-time five in the postseason? And honestly, I don't know if he could do either. Yeah, exactly. We don't know. He's young. Like, he's in the same draft class.
Mobley for Kuminga.
Actually, I think I would do that.
That's not even a question for me.
They wouldn't though, obviously, but.
So just a couple other teams that I was looking at. Actually messaged Sam about it, but if the Hawks blow up, what do we want from them outside of DeJounte Murray? Because I don't know what's going to happen with that. He might end up on the Lakers, but I'm looking at Clint Capella, who's probably just a more what's the word, more like agile version of Looney.
Yeah, it's a polite word. Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm looking at him. I'm looking at Johnson, which I don't think they'd get rid of him. But if they're truly trying to like blow it up, Looney and CP3 for Clint Capella and Johnson. Or, I mean, you could throw Wiggins over there to Atlanta, which I'm in Atlanta, so I would still have Wiggins. So that sucks.
Yeah. That's an interesting one. I wonder if they just trade Trae Young and keep DeJounte Murray. That's the one I wonder if they.
That's what I'd do if I was them. But I'm not them. So
not to say that DeJounte Murray is this great player, but what is Capella's contract situation anyway? Like, is he
one more year, 20-ish mil?
Woo.
I think it's 21. So it's that's, you know, really probably cool. More than it gets on the open market, but it's 1 year.
Time to get off Wiggins' contract.
Yeah, I mean, that's what it would be. It'd be like, all right, they're making approximately the same. Maybe they have to throw something in to just match contracts. And they'd be doing it because they want a wing who can, you know, play both ways. Yes, he's not a perfect wing, but it's like a gamble. You can figure it out again. And the Warriors just get like Clint Capella is like, he's not as good as the best version of Wiggins, obviously, but he's way more consistent than, you know.
You know,
it's like high floor, low ceiling type of move. Like, you know, he's going to rebound, you know, he's going to block some shots, you know, he's going to finish stuff inside. Is he going to take over against Luka in a conference finals? No. But is he going to look like he doesn't know how to play basketball in November? No. You know, so it's like, it'd be that kind of move.
Last question. If you could pick any of the random ass players on other teams that cooked the Warriors this year and went off for, you know, career highs, which one would it be? Isaiah Joe, Gigi Jackson, Cam, whatever his name is in Brooklyn.
Cam Johnson?
Cam Thomas.
Cam Thomas, yeah.
The Chucker.
Yeah. who do you take?
Andy, you go first.
Gigi Jackson is the easy one. That's the one I'm taking. That he might actually be good. That's the one where I was saying, like, he might. The other two are like, you know how I feel about Chuckers, like Cam Thomas. Keep that moving. I'm good. Steve Kerr, not in my locker room. And then Isaiah Joe, that's like classic Andrew Nembhard type behavior. I don't even know what happened there. But Gigi Jackson, might be good. Give me Gigi Jackson. Great name, too.
I feel like he could be the next Ant Edwards. Ooh. If you're looking at it like, ooh, you know,
that's
he used to be a top prospect. I just learned that a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, no, he was supposed to go in the top 10 of the draft, had a horrible college year, fell, and then, you know, so the Warriors love to gamble on guys with pedigree, but it never works out. Sometimes it works out, you know? That's why you do it. Sometimes you get a Gigi Jackson where it's like bad situation, but clearly talented. I think I'd go Cam Thomas, just for Andy's expression right now. Oh my God. That's it. I think that's where I would go. I shouldn't even
have gave you the option, truthfully.
it's like the Jordan Poole era. I'm thinking about like Steph next to a guy who can get buckets. I spent all year watching him run 1,000 miles while Chris Paul pounded the rock. I need him to play next to someone who can get loose.
You're right. Honestly, like the Warriors needed Cam Thomas. They miss Jordan Poole. Like they miss someone that can just. I get it, man. I don't like that type of player, but I get it. Like there's only so many back screens you can set. Sometimes a guy just has to break someone down.
The Warriors can find a guy who can do that who's also 6'8" and can defend. But all things equal, I'll take what I can get. Abby, appreciate you.
Thank you. Much love.
Oh, it's been a minute since I've heard from this guy. We got Luke calling in from Australia.
Oh, this is Alpha Goon right here.
How you going, boys?
What's up, brother?
Oh, mate. No. I must go. I want to formally apologize to the Light Years community after that Spurs game. Fucking what? Six? What was it 4 weeks ago when we were actually like rising up the rankings and they laid an absolute turd without Wemby. I was like, that broke my heart. I was like, I can't do this, mate.
You needed a little time.
No, mate, I was like watching it and I think my daughter went up to me and said, oh, daddy, I said, out. I was like, I can't do this, mate. I was like, I can't do this. I fucking lost my shit. But yeah, you guys are troopers, man, for doing this for so long. There's going to be some long content, I'll tell you. We're going to have to count with stuff. We need a player to get the shits, and we need a player to get the shits fast because, yeah, I don't like the body language since like the last month. I think, Andy, you've been talking about on Twitter, like the body language has been absolutely dog shit. I don't like Kerr's messaging throughout this whole campaign. It's like he's like, oh, well, I've got to be better. Yeah, cool, man. Like, how many times has Sam and Andy been fucking saying that for the last 2 years? Like, I got to be better. Yeah, man, we get it. But, like, I was talking to Sheet about this the other night when he reached out, and I said, you know what I think now, the boys? I think the best course of action is now. I think the best course of action for this team now is that Joe gets so fucking humiliated by all the other owners and gets clowned on ESPN that he actually has too much ego to actually be embarrassed on the national platform. Maybe that's how we get there. Maybe that's how we get another.
Oh, I like that. I think I agree with you. I think everything's
he hasn't shown his face, has he, Andy? Has he shown his face anywhere, boys, on anything in San Francisco at all? Has he shown anything?
He just walking around SF.
Per sources, he's not a happy camper.
Yeah. So he's like a fart in the wind, right? He's just completely disappeared. But like he was all good when we had the 6-2 start, and he was all, you know, we started 6-2.
What's up,
and he
TK? Was like, oh, let me come on your pod. Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, I just think maybe show your face and go, am I going to spend more money or am I just going to just mail it in? If he's just going to mail it in, just tell Stefan that and go, yeah, cool, that's fine. But I think we've seen the thing that annoys me the most, boy, now you got me rolling now. The thing that got me annoyed the most about this whole last month is it was clear that Steph ran out of energy, right? He was completely gassed. Sure. Like, even in that Kings game, I know, Andy, you said, yeah, we're cooked. I agree with you. I don't have the heart to say it on Twitter. But it was like, it was clear the last month he had no time to rest, so he was fucked, right? Isn't it clear now that we got to get someone like a Laurie? Like, I know Giannis is a fucking absolute shooting star. But even like a Laurie Markkanen, how much of a difference would a guy like him make in this team? Like, legitimately?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
I mean,
would he be the second best player on the team? Yes or no?
Oh, yes, without a doubt.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So, without like, either shit or get off the pot, you know what I mean? Like, either make a move, go for it. Because I saw today, two boys, like, wasn't Kerr talking about Kuminga not being able to play the three?
Yeah, we just.
Yeah, if he's not going to play the three, then fucking trade him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, the lineups don't work. Like, something's going to have to happen.
That part is very true, because you're either going to have to go, because it's Kuminga, Draymond, Trace Jackson Davis. Like, that's your line. Like, it's got to be Draymond and Trace Jackson Davis. And you're going to put Kuminga at the three. Like, what are we doing? Then he's not going to close games. What, you know, then you're going to pay him $100 million.
Someone in the chat's asking, he just blew millions in the tax for a play-in team. What more do you want? I actually want him to hold his basketball people accountable a little more. That's like, he did just spend $400 million on a kind of a garbage team, you know? Like,
build a better team.
When are they going to have their hair put to the fire and be like, you'd be fired in any other situation?
Yeah, well, like Sammy, but like Tony Soprano always said, like, this time it's different because this year you could almost spin, oh, they're going to flick the switch, they'll get to the playoffs and something will happen. They didn't even make the fucking playoffs. Like, they've been humiliated. Like, I really honestly believe that. Your season just got ended, and I don't mean to be disrespectful, by a guy named Ellis and fucking Keegan Murray's a good player, don't get me wrong. But we had two players in our team that couldn't make a fucking shot.
Keon Ellis.
In an elimination game.
Keon Ellis outplayed their entire
team. This Ellis guy was, like, doing the fucking night-night post. Like,
by the way, Keegan Murray is a second-year player, so I don't want to hear about how Moody and Kuminga need more time.
Exactly, you know? Right.
Like,
exactly.
That's kind of like the point. Yeah. So,
and don't start me on Moody. Yeah, the Moody's a better man than I am, mate. I'd be so spicy in those exit interviews. I'd be like, yeah, cool. I guess I got thrown into the fire when I was fucking needed, wasn't I? But he's a better man than I am. So, but
he really is.
Yeah, I'm just disappointed, boys. And I hope this next couple of months with you guys, we get something come out. Something, because I didn't like the talk on The Athletic too. It feels like the friends of the show kind of think we're kind of stuck too. But something's going to have to happen, boys, because there's too much shame in this. Like, there's not enough shame in this team. There needs to be, like, we're never going to get another guy like Steph. Yeah, but, yeah.
I am in agreement. Shame. Shame is the ultimate motivator. Yeah.
Anyway, I'll be here, but keep up a good work, much boys. Love, I'll take Luke. It easy, yeah?
Appreciate see you, Luke.
Oh, we're going to be a good off season. We are the Light Years podcast brought to you by Unified. Unified Healing is a new and super innovative global network of wellness centers powered by the Energy Enhancement System, or EE System. If you haven't heard of the EE System yet, you'll want to listen up. This technology promotes wellness, deep relaxation, purification, and rejuvenation. Whether you are here in the Bay Area or hundreds of other locations across the globe, access to a center is easy and affordable. Interested in experiencing the EE system technology for yourself, go to unifiedhealing.com/lightyears to learn more and find a center near you. That's unifiedhealing.com/lightyears. No material or testimonials on the Unified Healing website are intended to be viewed as medical advice or a substitute for professional medical advice. diagnosis or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition or treatment and before undertaking a new healthcare regimen, including the EE system.
All right, let's get to Kenny here. Kenny's been holding up a minute. What's up, Ken?
Look at that. Where are you? Look at that sunset still going on outside. Beautiful.
Up in Portland.
Oh, man. It's
gorgeous. Oh, we got a new view here. I guess we're more used to being 2 hours later in the night. So
Yeah. It's usually dark. Yeah. Well, while we made it to the end of the season, In some ways, I'm kind of glad that game was just 2 days ago. I mean, what did we lose by? 24 points? That was great. I mean, if we're going to lose, let's lose. Let's plop that steaming pile right on the table and let them deal with it, you know? And they did. So that's good. That's good. We can get some accountability. Well, it drove me nuts that, of course, after the entire season, there's Moody balling in a playoff game. You know, how many games would we have not lost by a couple of points with Moody and Trace playing all dang season? You know, that's pretty frustrating. But everybody's already hit on all that stuff. It's the past now. I just want
like a ponytail.
I want to follow up on what Luke said. We got, you know, we got to hit it or get off the pot. You know what I mean? If we're going for it, then we got to actually go for it. And if we're not going for it, then we got to rebuild. I don't care which way we go. Either way has totally good rationale, both ways. Keep Clay, keep Dre, go for it. If that's what we're going to do, fine. But if we're going for it, we got to go for it. You know what I mean? Not fill our final roster spot with 1 day to go in the season with someone that's not going to play in the playoffs. Not our 14th and our 13th spot being clever and not getting people that can play. We went into that series with Sacramento with basically four players that Kerr was not going to use. Saric, Quiñones, Santos, and Garuba. And I don't know, maybe those guys are good. Who knows? But the way the roster was built to pinch the pennies didn't work. In 22, when we won that championship, with the exception of Wiseman, there was logic behind every
single But I would say they need an influx of high-end talent more than – like, they're not a Juan Toscano-Anderson away from winning a title, so –
I agree with you on that. I'm not arguing with that. They need that and the other thing. And an assistant coach to Kerr that doesn't just tell him yes all the time.
Well, yeah, I like that.
And they need a curmudgeon in the front office that says, talk to me like I'm five. Why are we giving Clay all this money?
You know, I like that one too. I like it. Great.
We need all those things. But
Jerry West, a curmudgeon. How curmudgeon-y is Jerry West? 10 out of 10. 20 out of 10.
Oh, he's the definition of a curmudgeon. But he's a good curmudgeon. Ken, appreciate you, my man.
Hey, one more thing. Billy Bean. Have him get Billy Bean in those conversations.
What's Billy up to, Sam?
He's retired, man. He's up in, per sources, he's up in Ken's neck of the woods these days. I haven't seen him. Pandemic happened. He's like, I'm
what are
retired.
What are the A's? Who's running the A's? I mean, obviously, but like who's actually running the team?
It doesn't matter. That's
they're winning.
David Force, someone. So I don't even know what that is.
Him and Farhan were Billy's right hand man. Their baseball ops is always good. Those guys know how to. Anyway, that's a different conversation. What's up, my man?
What's up, lads?
I
finished like, two balls of tequila since Tuesday. I don't even have words. No. That's. I had a point and I completely blanked, so I'm just gonna wing it. It's kind of like going back.
Just get some more tequila. Yeah, get some more tequila.
I think I got all my brain cells just destroyed after watching the Kings destroy us. At what point do you think I listened like the Kerr Dunleavy press conference, of course, like everyone did, but do you think there's any what type of like adjustments to the offense would you guys like to see? I think there's a combination of two things, right? You need the players available. I'm sure that's like a a coaching management philosophy, right? Like you have to have a certain type of player to do spread pick and roll or motion offense. Like you have to have the intelligence, which they don't seem to have either of those. So it could be kind of piggybacking what everyone else has been saying, where it's like, is it just kind of committing towards something? So it's like having Steph be comfortable running a different offense.
I actually, you know, I think it's not that they run a bad offensive scheme. It really makes sense, especially for the personnel that they have. But I think they need more flexibility with what they want to run game in, game out, and then flexibility on the roster. Like you can't just sign Corey Joseph. Like he's not the problem, but like the goal. I know why he signed. He signed because he could run the offense. He knows how to pass. He knows how to cut. He theoretically can shoot a little bit, but it's like there are people that you can sign that, like, for example,
Cam Thomas.
Jamal Crawford was a guy that wanted to play for, and this is years ago. He wanted to play for the Warriors, and he wanted to play for Steve Kerr, and Steve Kerr would always be like, no, that's not someone that I want. There's actually another guy that's not coming to mind, Sam, and you're going to have to help me out. There's another
Rodney Stuckey.
Rodney Stuckey's another guy. There's actually another guy that wanted to play with, you know, just these type of like shooter, chucker type of guys off the bench. The Warriors, which has never, ever won us, and specifically Steve Kerr, wouldn't want to do that. And I think that's the problem, is that you've got to have some type of balance. Yes, of course, if you can get Paul George, that would solve like 85% of the stuff. But they're just kind of stuck doing the same old stuff, getting the same old players. It's like, guys, the NBA has moved on, man. Everybody can dribble and shoot now. Every team. Every team has those players. You can't build a team around just stiffs everywhere, which is kind of what they did.
I think Corey Joseph would fit in with like the 2015-2016 NBA, where you're still like,
sure. This roster would have won 45. This roster would have won 55 games in 2015.
Yeah,
perfect, perfect. Yeah. Appreciate you, man. I agree with you. Like, you have to. Cam Thomas is a perfect example of, I get why Steve doesn't like him, but also times you just need a guy who can get a shot, man. You know, not everything. End of the day, they need to get more athletic. They need to get more skilled. Those are my things. And they also need to get bigger at the same time. They need the trifecta of things. Yeah. So it's just like, when I say that out loud, I'm like, so just better. Gotcha. Cool.
But it's easier to get, you know, like not Jared Allen, but it is easier to get Jared Allen, right? Let's just say that it's easier to get a center somewhere. You make a tiny trade here that you could get a center. You could do that.
It's also like easy to get a 6'3", like six man type.
Yeah. You know? Like, get TJ Warren or something. I'm just throwing like a name out there, right? Like to your point, like just get a TJ Warren. Maybe he sucks, but like at least he's doing something differently. But then the big one, like your third one is like, that's the hardest one. You know, that's where Wiggins, Kuminga, and two first round picks come in.
Can y'all hear me?
What's up, Gio?
Oh, here we go. There we go.
I am all with all the agendas, like for the playoffs, right? Like, I need to see the Clippers lose like horribly to the Mavs. Like, I need that, right? Then also, I also need like the Lakers to like push Denver just a little bit, because I recall like when the Warriors were like going up, like the OKC series. Like, I need them to actually like suffer through this like process of becoming like a dynasty, right? Like, I need to see that like sort of like scary like thing that we've gone through, right? Then I also need I need Steve Kerr next season to like really be better, because like unless this team gets like I don't know, like Paul, like Giannis, like, or Paul George, right? Like they need to be creative in some capacity, right? Like new ideas, like new, like just new things. It's different things, something different. That's my take, guys. Honestly.
Yeah. I mean, I think we're saying the same thing, Gio. I don't disagree with you. Like, it's, you try the fit everything perfect for the system. It's time to be a little more flexible. It's time to be like, oh, yeah, Kristaps Porzingis might not be my favorite, but he is talented and he does represent an upgrade to this roster, for example.
Someone in the comments said, just heard from Logan Murdoch, which I don't know where that's coming from, that both Poole and Wiggins extensions were Lakers decisions. That's funny.
That's also not true. Every decision's Lacob's decision. Hey, we want to give this guy money. Do you approve? Yes. Like, that's shocking.
True.
Like, true. The boss has to sign off on all financial decisions.
Yeah, like, Bob Myers wasn't, hey, Joe, I don't want to re-sign Poole, but, you know, you want to. It's like, it's, come on. Fuck
out. How are we doing?
Good. What's up, man?
Yeah. Tuesday, I kind of already saw the silver lining, which was, thank God, you know, it would have been awful if we got past the Thunder somehow, and then we had the delusion that we could make it all happen with just, God knows, DeJounte Murray. Oh, okay. All right. But I guess my questions kind of pertain to the offseason, and I'm starting to wonder, I don't know if Kuminga's ceiling is Jaylen Brown. You say it is. I'm starting to think it might be a little lower, especially under Kerr's tutelage. I don't think Kerr is going to get him there, you know? What would you like to see in the offseason to know this team is actually serious? Like, what is it? Is it Clay at a certain figure?
Ooh. Oh, I have an answer. I have a perfect answer for this.
Yeah. And then I have another question after.
Sure.
Yeah, for sure.
That's the second one.
We'll do them both. Yeah.
Okay. And then just kind of a fun one, you know, just a little optimism shot. Do you think Dunleavy's going to hit on the second round again? Because we have a second round draft pick this 2024. What if we get another Trace? I mean,
honestly, they could use it because God knows they didn't hit anything for 8 years in the draft.
Okay.
I do actually, the one thing I will give Dunleavy credit for, because I do not know if he can pull the big trade off. I do not know how he can negotiate. Like, it's untested. But I do feel pretty confident he's a really good amateur scout. He's more than anything, he seems pretty good at picking out the guys who, like, he can help us, he cannot help us. He's done a good job. Trace was a great move. Pajemski was a great move. I don't know, like, he might be a guy who just finds you role players well. Like, that could be his thing, and that's not really what they need right now. But, like, I do feel confident he's going to, if you give him a pick, there's a decent chance he's going to get a guy who can give you something. Like, you know what I'm saying?
Let's go with that one first, and then we'll go to the second one after. I don't know. Drafts feel like kind of a crapshoot. I think you kind of, like, get lucky with these things. So I'm not sure. But the way that the traits that he chose to give a shit about seem to fit into what players will play automatically with the Warriors. But this also goes back to, I think, what the Warriors are missing, though, right? Like, what makes their offensive identity more diverse? It's not so much like find a player that fits the system. It's find a player that can uplift the system, right? And Jordan Poole was kind of that guy, as much as I think the ending sucked. But he was kind of more of that guy versus...
At his best, for sure.
At his best, yeah. This is certainly at his best. But it's like Trace is, you know, he's a solid big. He's going to be always a solid big. But there's not much more than that. And then Pods, you know, you and I have differing opinions, but he's going to be a good player. But more likely than not, he's more closer to role player than he is to, like, Jalen Brunson, which sure. I would love for him to be. But again, it's also hard. Like, dude, he had the 19th pick. What the hell are you supposed to go with the 19th pick? Are you supposed to get Jokic? Which, I mean, that's just unfair, right? Because so maybe the question is, like, what would have Mike Dunleavy selected if he had the second pick and the seventh pick in the drafts that the Warriors did? And I would be curious to know, give him truth serum, give Mike Dunleavy truth serum, and just ask him, like, who would you take him with the second, or what would you have done with the second pick? And then seventh,
he'd say, there's no chance in hell I'm taking that big guy who has never played basketball. No.
Considering he drafted Pajemski and Trace, probably not. Right? Like, yeah. He's told us that. Probably not.
I think this ties perfectly to the first question, which is, I don't think that there's an internal answer or a draft answer. They need a proven commodity. It's that simple for me. They need to get someone who's made an all-star team.
Yeah.
That's not even the highest bar. Like, Lowry Markkanen and Brandon Ingram made all-star teams. I'm still not sure how good I think they are in the terms of winning a title, but they are all-stars. They're legitimately all-stars, right? And that's the part of Dunleavy's job that's completely unproven. Can he get the big deal across the finish line? Can he make it happen? I don't know. Like, I'm not saying he can't. I just, you know, I haven't seen him do it. I haven't seen him. I mean, he hasn't had the opportunity, right? So that's what I want to see, because if he's who I think he is, get the big player. He's going to find you another Trace. He's going to find you those role players to go around. But the hard thing is finding that star. And that's where I think that they need to go.
I got one for you, actually, that I think is going to be harder. And it will tell us how serious he is. Is he going to match a ridiculous Clay trade offer or a contract offer? Let's say the Orlando Magic say, we're going to give him 3 years for $120 million. And Clay, I'm just saying, they're gonna and you know, let's say the Magic.
I think that's easy, because I don't think anyone will get mad at him for saying no to that.
I don't know. I'm just saying. Look, let's say 3 years. Let's just say 3 years, $100 million. But the Orlando Magic win their first round series, right? They win their first round series. They lose in the second round. But Orlando's feeling good. We're like, hey,
they're feeling themselves. They're like, we just need a vet shooter, and we're there.
Yeah, they carve out some cap room. The comments are telling me they can't do it. Whatever, they carve out some cap room. They make space. They make space because Clay is their number one guy. We need shooting. We need to figure out how to get the floor open for Paolo so he can go one on one. We're gonna offer him 3 years. We're gonna offer him $100 million. And Clay comes back to Dunleavy and he goes, "You either match this, or I'm walking.
I'm out."
Yeah. Exactly. Does Dunleavy say, "All right, I'm matching," or does he go, "Yeah, you know what, Moses Moody, pretty good player. We're just gonna give him 28 to 35 minutes, and he's just gonna do what you do, or at least 85% of what you do at a fraction of a cost, and then we're gonna go and look somewhere else, and we're gonna make trades."
Doesn't that tie to my question, which is, if they get that dude, if they get the Paul George, or even like the Ingram, or like, sure, like the like, then it's much easier for him to look Clay in the face and say, "You're taking a 10% haircut off that deal, or we're moving in a different direction."
Yeah, yeah.
Which is to say, because like I would, the worst thing he can do is strike out on getting a second star and then overpay Clay to make other people happy.
Yeah.
Which, like, maybe that's where he ends up. To your point, maybe that's where he ends up. But
Mikey's. I think Dunleavy's probably gonna. Now, as I talk through it, I think it's probably he's gonna find it easier to tell Clay no than it. Because the thing about
Dunleavy, easier than Bob did.
Because that's what I'm saying. Because he's not Bob. Because he's gonna say no, and he's gonna find it easier than. And you can't just trade for Ingram. Like that's not a thing. You just go to the Pelicans and go to David Griffin.
Well,
if
my spite playoffs work out, there'll be enough guys. One of them.
You spite get one playoffs of them. Is such just, a good way to put it.
Just one of them. We're gonna get
Sam Esfandiari spite playoffs is probably what we name it. Name the segment.
It's Latte Larry's spite store.
By the way, they brought him back for the final episode. I don't know if you caught the series.
Oh, I haven't watched the final episode. Yeah. I gotta catch up. I kind of checked out on this season. What was that?
Have you seen Seinfeld?
I've seen every episode.
Okay, then you'll like the final episodes. Yeah, I won't ruin it for you. But
maybe I need to get it. I got so disappointed by the way the season was going that I was like, I can't watch. It's like watching Clay. I was like, I can't watch you go out like
this. He's not. It's not. I was telling my buddy the same thing. He's clocked out, but. Just watch the last two or three, and you'll laugh enough. And
okay,
it'll be nice. Okay. It'll be nice.
So, I actually had. Oh, I'm still in here.
Y'all. Oh, what's up, man?
There you go.
It's a ghost. But I was gonna ask: do you think this puts any pressure on Steve Kerr moving forward? I know he just grabbed the bag, but do you think this puts any pressure on Steve Kerr, considering this was clearly a coaching disaster? I mean, how many times did you watch Trace Jackson Davis be open in the dunker spot, and then him not being trusted to, I don't know, get the dunk he gets 105% of the time in the regular season? Like this was a very Steve is stubborn, and this is not a Steve team. Like, if you don't have enough shooters to satisfy his play, I don't think I trust Steve with the team, unless we get Lauri Markkanen and like Donovan Mitchell, in which case, yeah, Steve can go back to his Yeah, that he can go back to his perimeter schemes where we actually have a relevant shooting team. But
sure.
Yeah.
I'm going to end it here, and I appreciate you calling in. I think I have more pressure on the front office. Front office needs to do their job before Steve gets a heat. And I'm going to leave it at that.
Yeah. Yeah, that's I think you're right. But I also blame everyone. And yeah. I think Nick Wright brought up a Draymond Green as kind of the soul. I think that's like a very good way to put it. And then if you look at the team and you look at the season, then you pull back and look at it from a broad level and you're like, Sam, you're right. I mean, dude, like, what kind of team did they put together that Draymond has started the five for like 20 straight games? You know what I'm saying? Like, what?
40.
Yeah. So,
yeah, no.
All right.
All right. Appreciate everyone. We'll be back.